Someone's got to test the durability of these things, don't they? So we know we've got our money's worth. Sorry, Mike.
I think I've got that one today.
Okay, good. I know, friends, that while I've been away, you've been getting some very good preaching. And we've been looking at habits that help us grow. So just before I left, financial habits that help us grow. Then I understand Pastor Bridget and you guys built some tent or something on stage, a tabernacle, and had a great family time, and that sounded awesome. It sounds fun. So Nigel spoke about how serving, how fellowship together can help us grow. Looking out for each other can help us grow. And last week Bridget spoke about serving, didn't she? Serving others can help us grow. So today's our last one in the series on things that will help us grow. And I want to focus on God's Word. On the Bible, how to read the Bible in a way that will help you grow. Now, most of us during the course of the week, unless you're a home group leader or you're preparing a sermon, will kind of spend 5 or 10 minutes doing a devotion. I think that's appropriate. I think that's time-wise what most of us have got. So a whole bunch of you will have Bible study apps from YouVersion, and you're to pick the topic and you'll be going through a series and maybe a 5-10 minute reading and some quiet time. Or maybe you pick up a chapter of scripture and you read that chapter and you just ask God some questions and pray about it. Or maybe it's the word for the day or some other study. But a devotion is pretty much a quick, short, spiritual input on a daily basis. And I think that's absolutely appropriate. I don't think people have time every day to spend time doing a full Bible study. Now, a Bible study is very different from a devotion. I think when you're doing a Bible study, you're spending 20 minutes, you're spending half an hour, and there's always the Bible open and pencil and paper beside you. And you're looking to go a whole lot deeper. And I want to suggest to your friends this, that a spiritual habit that will help us grow, that we can't do every day, there just isn't time every day, but you know, maybe once a week. Maybe on your Saturday, maybe on your Sunday afternoon, maybe once a fortnight, you can open the scriptures and go deeper. Because when you feed yourself from God's word, when you learn to do that, you're in a good place. Now, we've got brilliant groups leaders and Bible study teachers, really, really high standard. And so we get good input from them. The preaching, there's lots of good preachers in this church that we get good input from. And those things are good. But God wants us to be able to pick up the Bible ourselves and do more than a devotion. To pick up the Bible and ask a series of questions whereby we really understand what the Holy Spirit is saying to you from that passage. And that's going to take time. And if you've been doing the sermon class with me, you'll understand the series of questions I might bring when I'm doing a study at home or on my own. I'm not going to use mine this morning. I'm going to use Rick Warren's. About 30 years ago, he put out a little booklet on how to study the Bible. And so many people have enjoyed it and found it incredibly practical. So I'm going to draw on some of his outline. But God wants you not just to get something rich from your Bible group leader or from a sermon on Sunday, but he wants you to have the ability to feed yourself, to be able to open up the Word of God and get in deep and ask the right questions so that your soul is fed and you're refreshed. I'm always a little bit embarrassed on Thursday mornings, family, because I spend an hour and a half in Bible study before I shoot down and volunteer at the camp, before I come back and write my sermon. Now, I'm paid by you guys to go deep for an hour and a half. And it's rich. And it always blesses me. I think, God, this is so good. How come I get paid to do a Bible study like this? It's so good. It does so much for me before I pray those prayers and say, God, well, how does it relate to Central Baptist Church? So I'm suggesting to you, even if you're in a good home group, even if you come to multiple sermons and podcasts and different things, I want to suggest you some questions this morning you can look at, things you can do. So once in a while, maybe once a week, you can feed yourself from God's Word. Do a true Bible study. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, Jesus answered, "The scriptures say no one can live only on food. People need every word that God has spoken." The writer of the Hebrews wrote in Hebrews 5, verse 12, "But you should have been teachers by him. But once again, you need to be taught the simplest things about what God has said. You need milk instead of solid food." So the Hebrews writer is saying, by this point in time, by this stage in your Christian walk, you should be teaching the Bible, But you've actually not learned to feed yourself from God's word, and you're still needing to be fed. You still need the milk. You still need the basics. It's possible, friends, to hear a whole lot of podcasts and a whole lot of sermons and a whole lot of Bible studies and still not know how to feed yourself from God's word. To be dependent on what other people can say rather than get in the discipline of hearing from God through the Holy Spirit yourself as you open up the Bible and study it. One of the things I struggle with most as a pastor is this, that when I hear some Christians speaking about issues like abortion, like same-sex attraction, like people living together unmarried, all those sorts of topics, but the world's got great strong opinions on, sometimes and all too often, I hear Christians speaking about those topics and they sound just like the non-Christians. I go, don't you know? Don't you know that the Bible's the greatest selling book of all time? Don't you know the Bible's got a whole lot to say about that topic? Why is it when you talk about your convictions on that issue, you sound like someone else in the Lions Club or some other caring person in the world and not one of God's kids? We need to study the Bible to feed from the Word. People say things like, God helps those who help themselves. And they say, it's from the Bible, isn't it? Who thinks it's from the Bible? God helps those who help themselves. Don't put your hand up. You know who said it though? Benjamin Franklin. So many people say things like that and say, oh, I know it's in scripture somewhere. It's not. We need to know the word and be fed by the word. If you've got your outline with you, here's a very simple way of studying scripture and getting it into you so you can feed from the word yourself. And as I say, I just so love that hour and a half when I'm just reading scripture and asking questions on Thursday morning. It does me so much good. Number one, I must accept the Bible as my authority. If you open the Bible as a skeptic, if you open the Bible and say, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to get anything out of this. I don't know if I'm going to learn anything. I don't know if I'm going to hear from God in this. You probably won't. But if you open the Bible, you say, God, would you speak to me? God, would you show me something? God, I believe your word is the authority and truth, and I want to learn from it, then you will. A school teacher had a conversation with a Methodist class, and he said this. He said, I've picked up the Bible, I've been reading it, and it makes no sense to me at all. To which one of the students replied, the Bible is God's love letter for his kids. You're reading someone else's love letter. The man had no relationship with God or openness to God, and that comment makes sense. If I don't want to know God, if I'm resistant to God and I've got my own thoughts and religion, then reading this is going to make sense at all. But if I'm humble and I'm open and I'm seeking, it's God's breath, and he will speak to you and to me. We must accept the Bible as our authority. It's the only book you can read where you can actually speak to the author at the same time as reading it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We always thank God that you believe the message that we preached. It came from him, and it wasn't something made up by humans. You accepted it as God's message, and now he's working in you. God was able to speak through the Bible because before it was preached, people said, we believe we're going to hear from God when this is preached to us. Please choose the Bible over culture. Please choose the Bible over tradition. Please choose the Bible's authority over reason and over emotions. Choose the Bible over culture. Because everybody's doing it, because everybody's thinking it, doesn't make it true. In fact, Exodus 23 verse 2 says this, don't follow the crowd and doing wrong. I've got this picture. I read a book that Salon gave me about radical discipleship from John Stott. And I've had this picture in my head ever since reading the book of a Christian fish swimming this way and 1,000 fish swimming that way. And they're swimming against the tide. They're non-conforming. And after a period of time, there's 20. And after a period of time, there's 50. After a period of time, there's hundreds going the way of the Christian. But basically, when it comes to culture, what culture says is like this and what God says is like that. And we swim against the tide. Don't be led by culture. Don't look to culture for truth. Secondly, don't rely on tradition for truth. Because we've always done it this way doesn't mean that it's right. I always find that I'll do this in a couple of weeks' time. Next week, in fact, I'll preach on the topic of baptism. I'll talk about Jesus' baptism. When I speak about what the Bible says about money, about baptism, about respecting leaders, about repentance, there's a whole bunch of topics that when I preach on and I speak from the Bible, people get upset. So we disagree. Now, I don't mind if you disagree, if you come back and say, this is what the Word says. Russell, have you considered these texts? But our culture and tradition has so infiltrated our thinking that sometimes we can't see what it actually says. We can't read what it actually is being written in Scripture. We need to be able to isolate our tradition and don't look to tradition for our authority. Don't rely on reason as your authority. If it sounds reasonable to my intellect, I need to remember I've got a tiny brain compared to God's. Proverbs 16, verse 25. Sometimes what seems right is really a road to death. And I've seen that in so many intelligent people. Finally, don't rely on your emotions. Too often Kiwis say, look, if it feels right to you, just do it. That must be right if it feels right. That trumps everything. That's just nonsense, isn't it? I'm not anti-pizza. I don't like pizza. When I eat pizza, I feel bloated. My head goes all foggy, and I feel like I love nobody after pizza. So if I follow my feelings, and I've had a whole lot of pizza, do I say after I've eaten my pizza, oh, I don't love my family anymore, I don't love my church anymore, I don't love, you know, whatever anymore? No, I can't follow my feelings. I follow the truth. And so often feelings are in conflict with Scripture and in conflict with science and conflict with logic. Don't follow your feelings. Follow Scripture for truth. Feelings can lie to us. I remember being a postie once and riding down the road at Christmas time doing this fill-in job while it was vasty, and a little dog bit me. And seriously, the next day, and it was a silly little dog, didn't even hurt. But seriously, the next day I was riding down the same road. You know what I was expecting in my head? My feelings were telling me a silly little dog's going to come out and bite you any minute. Now it didn't. My feelings were wrong. You know, don't trust your feelings as your authority. Trust Scripture. Accept the Bible as your authority. So how do you study the Bible? If you were to take time once a week or once a fortnight and say, I don't just want to hear a good sermon from this person or from that person or have a great Bible study or listen to a good podcast. I want to get into the Bible myself. I want to hear from God personally. I'm going to give 20 minutes, half an hour, not just my normal devotion time, but a proper Bible study. What might I do? Number one in your outline, first of all, pray. Ask God for insight and expect to hear from Him. Expect to hear from Him. You come to the Bible with a teachable spirit. There's this beautiful psalm in Psalm 119, the beautiful verse 18. It's a great prayer to pray before coming to the Word. Open my mind and let me discover the wonders of your law. Can you picture David saying that? I mean, just about to read Scripture and probably compose songs and responses to it. He's saying, God, open my mind. Oh, I'm about to be fed. It's about to be a rich experience. Let me discover the wonders of your law. Secondly, meditate on the passage. Now, you and I know that's not sitting in the lotus position, making weird noises. The word meditation is a farming word. It comes from remuneration. And remuneration, hang on, that's not right either. It comes from rumination. Thank you for that, Heather. Good teacher. And that's what the cows do. The cows have these multiple stomachs and they chew the grass and they go away in half an hour, they burp it up. And now that the acids have been at work on it and things, it's even tastier apparently and even sweeter. And they chew it all again. And they chew it, and they chew it, and they chew it, and they chew it, and it's fully digested. That's what it means to meditate on the Word of God. You sow it in. You pitch yourself. You get there. You understand it. You take it deeply. You bring it up. You chew on it. You bring it up. You chew on it throughout the day so that by the end of the day, that paragraph or that verse has become part of who you are. Oh, you're living it. You understand it completely. Meditate on the passage. Paul, writing to his mentee Timothy, put it this way: if you keep in mind what I've told you, the Lord will help you understand completely. Hey, Pastor Tim, keep chewing over in your mind the things that I've been inspired by God to tell you, and you'll really get it. The penny will drop, and isn't it true? If you meditate on something all day, there's going to be a point during the day where you go, I really get it. It's part of me. I really understand it. There are six ways to meditate on Scripture. Number one, or A in your outline, picture it. Visualize the scene in your mind. Now, in our preaching class a couple of months ago, we had some people in our group so good at doing this, incredibly good at doing this. Let your mind see Peter walking on the water or Jesus on the side of the mountain preaching the Beatitudes. Picture Jesus talking to the woman at the well. What does his face look like? What do you see on her face? What's happening all around them? Be in your outline, pronounce it. It's especially helpful when you're reading a scene or a picture that's a spiritual truth. Say each verse in the passage aloud while emphasizing a different part of the verse. So we did this when we were doing Father's Day. We had that great motorbike of Alex's and the great carpentry here of Peter's, you know, and the chainsaws on the stage, you know. It was a good day. And we just looked at that one verse. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And all I did was pronounce it differently, put a different stress. So first of all, we looked at as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then it was as for me and my house was the emphasis. We will serve the Lord. And it was for as for me and my house, we will. We were reading it differently and we took a different emphasis and it was the same verse, but by pronouncing it differently, stressing a different part of the verse, we got so much more out of it. A third way to meditate on a passage is to paraphrase it. And I love doing this. I love taking scripture and putting it in the Kiwi language. And there are paraphrased Bibles out there like the Message and the Living Bible that will help as well. Fourth, you can personalize it. I'll never forget being at a Christian camp as a teenager, and we were made to personalize John 3:16. You know, for God so loved Russell. He loved Russell so much that he gave his only son, that if Russell would believe in him, he wouldn't die, but Russell would have eternal life. It's powerful to take a scripture and personalize it and let God speak to you in that way. If you look at the Psalms, you'll realize that most of the Psalms that David sang were David looking at Scripture and personalizing something from the first five books of the Bible. He's responding to it. He's personalizing it. It's made into something beautiful. It's a powerful way to meditate on Scripture. Probe it is E. Rick Warren suggests the acrostic space pets to remind people of the questions to ask when you're probing a passage. S in space pets. Is there a sin exposed here that I need to confess? Lord, was there pride being spoken about in this passage? Is there pride in my life? P in space cadet stands for, is there a promise to claim? Over 7,000 promises in the Bible, maybe in the passage you're studying this morning or next weekend, there's one you need to claim for yourself. A stands for, is there an attitude I need to change? And the Bible's so real, it doesn't water over things, it doesn't make things look pretty. When people have got bad attitudes, it comes out in Scripture. And when you read the story, to pause and say, well, God, is that attitude in me? Am I selfish? Am I grumpy? Am I, you know, is that what that's happening there? Is it happening in my life too? So God can challenge it. C stands for a command. Is there a command to obey? Maybe our text says, do all things without murmuring and complaining. Love your neighbor as yourself. Is there a command to obey? That's the space part of space pets. Pets, P, is there a prayer to pray? Is there a simple prayer in this passage I need to pray over myself and my family? Many of the Psalms are just prayers, and we can pray them back to God. E, is there an error to avoid? Is there something being pointed out in the Scripture regarding an error someone was teaching or an error someone in someone's lifestyle? Is there an error I need to avoid? T, is there a truth I need to believe? Sometimes you read God's word and it's like God saying, here's a revelation. Just don't move on. Just sit here, pause, think on this. Get it. Get it. Get this truth and start to really live it out and speak it and believe it. And S, is there something to thank God for? Is there something in this passage, in this story, in this account that causes me to pause and just thank the Lord? Space pets give you 9 different probing questions. So you can picture it, you can pronounce it, you can personalize it, you can probe it. And the next one, F is you can pray it. You can pray it back to God. Turn what you've read, what you've meditated on into a prayer. So when you do that study for maybe 20 minutes, just one day a week, and you ask God for inspiration and you meditate it on the word, and you've probed that passage, and pray it back to God. God, this is then what I need you to do. God, would you take these things and apply them to my life? Number three in the outline, apply the message to your life personally. John 13, verse 17. You know these things and God will bless you if you do them. James 1, verse 22. Obey God's message. Don't fool yourselves by just listening to it. D.L. Moody once said that the Bible wasn't given to increase our knowledge. It was given to change our lives. With your pen in your hand, start writing a sentence that begins with words like, as a result of what I have just read, I need to. As a result of what I just read, I will. And complete the sentence. Something practical. Something that's truly possible. Number four, memorize it. Psalm 119, verse 11. I treasure your word above all else. It keeps me from sinning against you. You're not always going to have the Bible with you. And there will be a time when the Christians are gone and those that come to faith after the rapture won't have the Bible. I don't think it'll exist at that time. When people have learnt scripture and you face a difficult situation, it's amazing how God brings it back to mind. You might be dealing with a family situation, a business situation, a difficult problem, and you think, what do I do? And you pause and you pray. And a scripture you memorized 6 months ago, 12 months ago, 5 years ago, comes back and it's absolutely applicable. It makes total sense. It's wisdom for that situation. Memorizing it. In fact, if I were to look at all the things that help us grow that Nigel and Shania and I have talked about, I suspect memorizing scripture might be the most powerful one of all. All of those things are good. To serve and to fellowship and help each other and to manage our money God's way, they're all good. But I suspect to sow in the scriptures into our hearts and our minds and memorize them might well be the most powerful habit of all. The Bible is God-breathed. It's inspired. Great to get you on track with God. Great at showing you that you've been going off track. And great at giving you instructions on how to get back on track again. Come to the Bible once a week or once a fortnight. Come to the Bible as your authority in your life. As your authority, not these other things. You can't trust them. They're going to change all the time. Scripture's true. It's God-breathed from cover to cover. Come to it as your authority. Come to it teachable. Come to it prayerfully, expecting to hear from God as you study it. Meditate on it, chew it over and over, and apply it to your life practically, and then commit it to memory. If you add this spiritual habit to your life, whether your pastor speaks too fast, or whether your small group leader was boring that week, maybe the podcast wasn't so good, if you're studying the word for yourself, you're still going to grow. You're still going to mature, no matter what the situation is around you. And that's what God wants. God wants you to grow to maturity, to have spiritual habits that will discipline you in such a way you stay close and keep growing so you're not the same person next month that you were this month. You're more and more like Jesus. Would you stand, please? I'm going to pray for you, and we have got time sharing from Christ Alone again, because that's my favourite hymn. So if we can close with that, that'll be great. But let me pray for you first about just studying God's word personally. Look, I know how busy people are. I know how many things our kids need us to run to. I know how many things that need repairing in most people's houses and most jobs aren't limited to 40 hours. That's the world we live in. So many of us in my generation are looking after parents and aunties and uncles and oldest people. There's so many responsibilities in life. But family, if we can study this, if we can learn to feed from it, oh, you're setting yourself up. You're setting yourself up to grow, to be more like Jesus. And that's got to be an ultimate goal in our lives. Let's pray together. Father, first of all, we want to be a people that hear from you. We don't want a people just with information. But God, we want revelation. We don't just want to be a people that enjoy and enriched by and blessed by great Bible study leaders or preachers or podcasts. We want to be a people that so encounter you in your book that we hear your voice and we change. Father, in this world where people are saying that which is evil is good and culture and tradition has such a loud voice, help us hear what your scriptures have to say. Help us so live your scriptures that we'll avoid a whole lot of pain and will walk closely with you. And our kids and our grandkids would learn to do the same. Father, this week as we reflect on this message, studying your word, help us make a decision to set time aside on a regular basis to go deep, to do more than devotion, to really get to grips with your word and let your word change us. Lord, we ask for a change in this. We ask for an increase in our personal study of your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing as Sharon and the team come forward. I love this one, friends. I hear people all the time say, all religions are the same. It's an utter lie. Always lead to God. It's an utter lie. People say, what about this and what about that new thing? If it's new, it's probably not true. But if it's about Jesus and it's focused on the cross, it is true. And it works. And our lives will get better and better. And God will bless our lives as we put him first. So let's make this our closing hymn.